The Senate will be in order. Will everyone in the Senate and the galleries please rise for the prayer by the Reverend Gock and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
From the 25th Psalm we read, He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble His ways. All paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep His covenant and His decrees. Heavenly Father, You hear the faintest prayer, whether spoken or not. But we pray that You will hear our prayers, that our uncertainties and concerns for what we do here is grounded in Your Word, and bring us assurance that our decisions are in keeping with Your desires for us. Keep us resolute in our hope to be faithful and centered in You, our God. In Your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schauf, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
A quorum being present, the Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please call the journal. Please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, 58th day, Monday, April 24th, 2017. The Senate met pursuant to adjournment. President Parson in the chair.
Senator from Cole, what purpose you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
Senator from Cole has moved that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as fully read. Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none. Senator from Cole, you recognize close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Introduction of guest. Senator from the first, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have several special guests to introduce.
You may proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am in part pinch hitting for the Senator from the fifth, who is not with us as of yet today. Hope she will be soon. Mr. President, to your left and my right, we have with us today members of the Missouri Wing of the Civil Air Patrol.
The Senate will come to order for introduction of special guests here at the State Capitol. Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. To your left and my right, we have with us today members of the Missouri Wing of the Civil Air Patrol. The Civil Air Patrol, of course, is the official auxiliary of the United States Air Force and assists with operations all over the country. I'm a strong supporter, and I'm sure the rest of the Senate is as well. I will be presenting a resolution to them here in a moment on behalf of the Senator from the 5th. I would ask that members of the body please join us in honoring their dedication and service to our country.
Would the guest of the Senator from 1st please rise and be recognized by the members of the Missouri Senate? Senator from the 1st.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
Introduction of special guests, Mr.
You
President.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's my pleasure to introduce to the chamber former Representative Jeff Rorta. Jeff and I have shared a place here in Jefferson City for 11 years. It's been 11 years since we first were serving together in the Missouri House. Seems like just yesterday he made that terrible mistake. But Jeff is here. He is the business manager of the St. Louis Police Officers Association, As we heard yesterday, we're dealing with the Blue Alert Bill, and so he is here to advocate on behalf of the officers that serve us in the field in the city of St. Louis and the surrounding areas. I would ask the body make him feel very welcome for joining us today.
Let's please welcome the guest from the Senator 7th to the Missouri Senate Chamber. Introduction of guests, Senator from Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. President. Introduce very special guest.
You may proceed. My
colleague just introduced this Civil Air Patrol here in Missouri and the cadets. And I would like to point out one individual in this group that is a constituent of mine, Mr. Ed Tennis. He works tirelessly on the Civil Air Patrol, as well as a lot of other worthy projects within the community and throughout the state of Missouri. He's retired military and just pretty much says it like it is. He's a close personal friend. Please make him feel welcome today.
Let's please welcome the guest from the Senator Phelps and show him how much we appreciate him working with these young men and women for the state of Missouri. Thank you. Introduction guest, Senator from Callaway.
Thank you, Mr. President. Not much voice today. I have a very special guest. To your left and my right is Olivia Linneman. Can't see her right now for all the people walking through. Olivia is a seventh grader from Troy, Missouri, and job shadowing me today. I ask the body, please join me in making her feel welcome.
Let's please welcome the young lady from the Senator from Callaway's guest to the Missouri Senate Chamber. Introduction of guest. Senator from Johnson, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Point of personal privilege.
Senator from Johnson is requesting a point of personal privilege. Senator from Johnson, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. What I want to talk about this morning is a quote that I woke up to this morning from Austin Chambers, the senior advisor to the governor. Austin Chambers has said that he works for three entities. One, the governor of the state of Missouri. Two, the governor's campaign. And the third, a new Missouri, a not-for-profit 501c4. The quote that he gave that was in the media was this: "This isn't about just something against the senator from Buchanan," Chambers said. "If there are others who are standing in the way, then we will engage with them too." Let me say that again. If that doesn't sound like a threat, I don't know what does. Austin Chambers: "This isn't about just something against the senator from Buchanan. If there are others who are standing in the way, then we will engage with them too." Well, I've got a message for Austin Chambers. Beware. He's a man of good, great quotes. He really likes quotes. So I've got two quotes for him. Number one, beware those with a sharp tongue, for they may cut their own throat. And number two, don't throw stones in a glass house. When Austin Chambers, the senior advisor to the governor, this is what his bio says, throws out corruption charges against my colleagues, I take offense to that. In my heart, I know that my colleagues here, whether they're Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, are not corrupt, Mr. President. I know that the senator from Buchanan is not corrupt. I know the senator from Newton is not corrupt. I know the senator from Cole is not corrupt. I know that all of my colleagues here, whether they're in the House or the Senate or any statewide elected officials, I believe came here for the right reason. It's really easy to go around and throw corruption charges around, especially when you're a 21-year-old senior advisor to the governor and lob out bombs on, whether it's on Twitter, Facebook, throw out the senator from Buchanan's personal cell phone number. That is just dirty politics. And that's not why I came here to the Missouri State Senate. I don't believe that's why my 175,000 constituents from the 21st District sent me here, Mr. President. This dirty politics from Austin Chambers and being in campaign mode has to stop. It has to stop. If we want to push through our conservative agenda that we all campaigned for, throughout this last campaign and the voters elected us to do. We can't have 21-year-old senior advisors to the governor lobbing bombs and trying to derail things and trying to take over the Missouri State Legislature, whether it's the House or the Senate. Mr. President, I've never met this Austin Chambers, nor do I care to meet him. But I know that we have a job to do here in the Senate, and by God, I'm not going to let some 21-year-old, immature, senior advisor to the governor derail what the voters put me here to do. Thank you, Mr. President.
Introduction of guest. Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire of the senator from Johnson.
Senator from Johnson, you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Buchanan.
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you for your words, Senator. I wanted to kind of flesh out that quote that you just quoted, the Austin Chambers quote. So what I did was I just took a photo of it. And so whenever it uses my name, I'm just going to insert the senator from Buchanan, which is what you did.
Yes.
So the actual quote was, to expand it out just a little bit, it says, "The ads urge people to call the senator from Buchanan's personal cell phone. Chambers said a new Missouri is using radio ads, digital ads, and robocalls against the senator from Buchanan. He said similar tactics will be used to push Greitens' agenda." This isn't about just something against the senator from Buchanan, Chambers said. "If there are others who are standing in the way, or if there are others who are being very supportive of the agenda, then we will engage with them." In other words, he says, similar tactics will be used. So, the tactics are, we will put your cell phone number in our radio ads, digital ads, and so on. Now, I want you to think about the balance of power of our three branches of government. We have checks, we have balances. We pass legislation. We say that free and fair discussion will ever be found the firmest friend to truth. Right up there.
I agree, Senator, and right up there it says nothing is politically right that is morally wrong. Politically right may be publishing your personal cell phone number and being ingenuous, saying that you're against lobbyists, or that you're for receiving lobbyist gifts, you're against not having term limits, but that may be politically right for what they're doing, but it's morally wrong, and Austin Chambers has to stop.
But, it isn't Austin Chambers who's doing this. It's the governor. Austin Chambers is the governor's senior advisor. He takes his marching orders from the governor. Everything that Austin Chambers does, it's the governor who's doing it. And we have a balance of power. We have checks and balances. And basically what Austin Chambers is saying is, we now have another lever to put onto the legislature. We have the lever of, we are going to run ads, we're going to put your personal cell phone number, we're going to call you out, we're going to push the governor's agenda through this other mechanism of the secret dark money donors that he has. That is not okay! That is not okay! We are not going to change the structure of our state government. We are not going to allow this. Every single member of this body has to be able to have a free and fair discussion, not a discussion in which we are afraid of doing the right thing because we fear the governor running $30,000 worth of ads in our home district to stop us, to push us to do his work, his agenda, when it may not be ours. That is not okay. We are not going to stand for this. And as far as I'm concerned, Governor, I don't care what your agenda is. My agenda is to do the work of the people. So here's what we're going to do. As far as I'm concerned, we're going to pass the budget. We're going to pass the budget because we are constitutionally required to do it. And then, in my opinion, and I don't know if others in this room agree, but the 501c4, A New Missouri, has now become public enemy number one. It is the enemy of this body. It is the enemy of the other body. It is the enemy of the Constitution. It is the enemy of the people. And it has to be stopped. And the only way it can be stopped and that we can move forward is to pass ethics legislation that discloses the dark money that is being used against us. Else every single one of us will be under the threat of the governor using his newfound power and stopping us from having the fair discussion that we have to be able to have. Now, that's my position. I am not going to stand for a single other piece of legislation other than the budget. Let's get on to the budget, Mr. Floor Leader. Let's move right to the budget. And then, instead of going to 302, let's go to 305. And then, after that, if we can get this dark money disclosure passed out of this body so we can stop this breaking of the balance of power, then let's move on to 302. I'm not against the blue alert bill, but I'm against this that is happening. And when I see the senior advisor to the governor responding to my speech that I made yesterday, this is the answer from the governor. This is not the answer from Austin Chambers. This is the answer from Governor Greitens. Do you agree?
I do, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Introduction of guest. Introduction of guest. Senator from Webster, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Point of personal privilege.
Senate will come to order. Senator from Webster has requested a point of personal privilege. Senator Webster, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, last night, Maynard Wallace's daughter, Michelle, passed away. And a number of us served with Maynard in the House. We know his family. We know his heart. This body appointed him to the State Board of Education, approved his appointment to the State Board of Education, which he's been a great member, a great person. I would ask for a moment of silence for the family.
Would all the senators please rise in the chamber for a moment of silence for the daughter of former Representative Maynard Wallace. Thank you, Senator, for bringing that to our attention. Would you please let Mr. Wallace, Representative Wallace, please let him know that our thoughts and prayers are with him. Introduction of guest. Introduction of guest. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Resolutions. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Senator from Call.
President, without objection, the Senate go the order of business of House bills on third reading, and I ask you to recognize the Senator from Franklin County on House bills 302 and 228.
Senator from Newton, why are you seeking recognition?
Would you please refer House Committee substitute for House concurrent resolutions 32 and 33 to the Rules Joint Rules Resolution Ethics?
They will be referred. Senator Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading. I'd ask you to recognize the Senator from Franklin County on House Bill 302 and 228. That we go to that order of business?
Senator from Cole has moved that we will... Well, Senator from Buchanan, what is your objection? session.
I object to going to the order of business of House bills on third reading at this time, and I would like to speak to the motion.
Senator from Buchanan, the senator from Cole had made a motion to go to the order of business of House bills on third reading. I will take his motion and put it in front of the body, and then if you request recognition, you will be given recognition at that point. Senator from Cole. Senator from Clay, would you restate your motion? I'm not sure your microphone was on for that entire thing. Would you restate your point of order? Is that point of order? Is that what?
Thank you, Mr. President. My point of order is that the motion should be to suspend the rules to go to that order of business. And I would like to speak on the point of order.
Senator from Clay, until that motion is restated from the chair, it is not in front of the body. So, and
I thought you
not,
had, I
and
thought
that
you
has
had
not
taken
been
the motion.
Done yet.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. I thought you had just said I'll take your motion, which is why I raised the point of order at that time.
No, wait. Okay. Senator from Cole, would you restate your motion?
Just to repeat, what I said was I moved to go to that order of business, which... So I'll just make that motion. I move to go to the order of business of House bills on third reading.
Senator from Cole has moved that the Senate go to the order of business of House bills for third reading. Senator from Clay, what purpose do you rise?
I raise a point of order.
State your point of order, Senator.
Mr. President, the motion should be to suspend the rules to go to that order of business, as the order of business is outlined in our rules, and the senator from Cole is asking to go out of order.
Your point of order will be referred to the President pro tem of the Senate. Is there any senator desire to be heard on the point of order? Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
To speak on the point of order, Mr. President.
Senator, you may proceed.
Mr. President, the pertinent rule is rule number 3. It says the business of the Senate shall be disposed of in the following order. And it starts with reading the journal, introduction of guests, positions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions. We went through all of those in that order. And then it says, number 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 are all in between orders of business. And then we come to number 15, House bills on third reading. So technically, the senator from Cole's request to go to the order of business of House bills on third reading is actually in order, and yet he asked that there be no objection to go to that order of business. And so I object to going to that order of business for the purpose of going to House Bill 302, so I objected. But technically, he can just go to that order of business. But if he does, he can't go back. He can't do reports of standing committees, reports of select committees, second reading of Senate bills, messages from the House, first reading of House bills on second reading, third reading of Senate bills, bills, reports, and other bills on the table, including bills for perfection. He won't be able to do that. Maybe he doesn't want to do that. But I would rather we would take up House Bill 1. I mean, if we take up House Bill 1 and do the budget, and then we take up Senate Bill 305, I won't object. Maybe he could just simply go to that order of business. So anyway, those are my thoughts, Mr. President. As far as the point of order, If the floor leader is intending to go to House Bill 1, we could probably just withdraw that point of order. Thank you.
Senator from Cole, what purpose do you rise?
Just no inquiries while we're on a point of order, right? So I can just speak on the point of order?
You may speak on the point of order.
Okay. Briefly speak on the point of order. For the body's knowledge, I made a commitment to the senator from Franklin last night because there was another event that many people wanted to go to for him to work through some amendments, and I felt like I had to keep my word because that's all you have in this building, and that was the intent. I made a deal to do that. The senator from Phelps County was aware of that. It gave time for some other senators who had some issues with that bill to work it out behind the building. And so when I give somebody my word, just so you know, I like to try to keep my word. Having said that, Mr. President, I withdraw my motion on those my previous motion.
That motion will be withdrawn. Senator from Cole. Senator from Cole, hold on just a second. The motion has been withdrawn, so the point of order from the senator from Clay also goes with that motion on that. All right, Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading, and I'd ask you recognize the senator from Phelps County on House Bill number 1. And, Mr. President, I would remind the body Rule 6 provides us the authority to take appropriations bills out of order.
House Bill number, hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills for third reading. House Bill number 1, Senator from Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that House Bill number 1 with House Committee substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
The senator from Phelps moves that House Bill number 1, House Committee substitute, be taken up for third reading and final passage. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that House Bill number 1, House Committee substitute, be read a third time and finally passed.
Senator moves that House Committee substitute for House Bill number 1 be third read and finally passed. Senator, do you care to explain the bill?
House Bill number 1 is public debt. We're required to pay public debt by law. Not all of the information has been passed out yet. They're working on that as we speak. So I guess you're going to have to trust me a little bit on some of my explanations on House Bill 1. Total revenue, total numbers on House Bill 1 went down a little bit because of maturing of some of the debt, some of the bonds that we have. So that payment is less. We're not cutting it just to be cutting it. So we're moving forward with House Bill 1. And there is not a Senate committee substitute on this House bill because we were in agreement with the House. This is a matter of public policy and things that we need to do. With that, Mr. President, I'll try to answer any questions. And I do apologize for the members that they don't have the summaries. They have all of the bills, maybe except House Bill 1, on their desk. But the summaries that I normally have passed out to kind of explain where we're at has not got to that point yet.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on House Committee substitute for House Bill number 1? Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 13th, purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the 13th?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Good morning, Senator. I was just talking to one of my members on the Appropriation Committee. She didn't realize we didn't have it, and we do have new members in here that have not served in either chamber, and they're probably curious as to Well, we have one, and he's pointing at himself and smiling. I guess I'm doing some work for him. But, and for myself, too, I understand that it's public debt. Is that,
yeah.
Are we going to get a copy of this so we can see what's going on? It's hard to inquire.
Yes, ma'am. It is being distributed now. Like I said, that we went this a little quicker than I expected.
Okay.
And a little quicker than staff could actually get things done. They are... It's being copied now. And
so are we of the intention that we're going to stay on this till it's distributed and then vote on it and then move on? Or
we can do that. Last year's 17 budget was $53,208,208. This year it's $40,564,997. That's 23% less of requirement of general revenue than last year. Other debt was, or other funding of the public debt was $2,539,000 in 17 and $1,742,000 in 18. That's a 31% decrease. And as I said, these are debt that was established by a vote of the people, and there's $13 million less being paid this year, because some of these are being paid down to the payment is not full extent, and that's like the four state building bonds transfer and stormwater control bonds and water pollution control bonds, and that's all the bill does.
Okay, I just...
The public debt portion of the budget is usually the least controversial.
Right, no, I agree, but if you don't have it in front of you...
Right.
Because I was just handed the Cliff Notes for it.
Right.
And it just lists, like, what the debt was and what it is this year and the reduction. It doesn't say, it does say where the major changes are, so that's good enough for me, but it's hard to visualize. So I just wanted to give you an opportunity to talk for a little bit till this is distributed. And I think it's distributed now, maybe? If not, maybe you could tell me how you enjoyed your first year as the appropriations chair.
The half have it, the other half is coming, is my understanding. So your side of the room has it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
It's going to be hot off the press, really.
I'm sorry. Okay.
And it is, like I say, pretty straightforward, but I agree with you. It's nice for people to be able to look at it. We normally try to get these on the desk where people do have some time, we've just finished this Thursday night about 8:30, 9 o'clock, and staff worked all weekend because they have to do the entire bills, and then they're doing the summaries, and we went over those early this morning while we're trying to get everything printed, so I think it's coming out.
Well, thank you, Senator. I appreciate having served on appropriations. I appreciate the hard work of your staff, and the hours that your committee puts in is only, it's doubled by the staff.
And
so I appreciate
it
that.
It is. The staff has a hard job. And I'll tell you, my committee members this year, I pushed them really hard, and they didn't complain because we only had three weeks for the budget from the House. Governor got it to the House late, and we got it from the House late. So what I'm desperately trying to do is to get the budget passed through the chamber. There are numerous conferenceable items, as you can imagine, because there's about $52 to $56 million less in the Senate budget than the House budget. We have a balanced budget at this point, but I do want to have the opportunity to conference and get the House opinions and for them to be able to weigh in.
So, and I'm sure that as we go through this budget, we'll talk about those conferenceable items. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate it. I'll sit down. I think there's somebody behind me that actually has another question for you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 1? Does it? Senator from the 8th, are you seeking recognition?
Yes.
Senator from the 8th, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire the Senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from the 8th?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, I'm not going to try to hold the process up. I mean, if it's been distributed, I'll sit down. We can go ahead and dispose of this bill. But I didn't hear, maybe you said it, did you go over a general overview of where the budget stands in its totality, not just House Bill 1?
No, I did not, because as we go through, I think it becomes clear to members where there's conferenceable items and where there's been adjustments made to make up for the circuit breaker that we did not pass in this chamber.
Okay. But, I mean, as far as overall budget, big picture, we're spending about what we are, we did last year from general revenue. Do you have those kind of numbers handy?
The total budget is going to be about $27.8 billion.
Okay.
And, like I say, we budgeted a little less than the House has, because we did not pass circuit breaker, and we've left some big items open, like they fully funded the foundation formula. We went the governor's rec on foundation formula, because that we can conference on about $45 million there. We did fund transportation along with the House. We agreed on House Bill 2, House Bill 3. I'm going to go to conference with on higher ed. The House had funded all the 4 years in community colleges at 6.5% core reduction and MU at 9-point-something core reduction. So we're in a conference on those items and try to get pretty much an even number across the board. There's a few cuts in social services. We've put bills from different areas for greater transparency of some of the programs. So it becomes more obvious as we go through, and then we'll kind of have a wrap-up.
Gotcha. I don't see anybody passing out anything, so I'm assuming your side has...
We haven't.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senate committee or on here, House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 1. Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator from Phelps, you recognize close.
I close. I renew my motion.
Senator from Phelps renews his motion that House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 1 be read a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 1, an act to appropriate money for the Board of Fund Commissioners for the cost of issuing and processing state water pollution control bonds, storm water control bonds, and fourth state building bonds as provided by law, to include payments for the Water Pollution Control Board and Interest Fund, Storm Water Control Bond and Interest Fund, and fourth state building bond and interest fund, and to transfer money among certain funds. Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Pearls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Libela, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from Green. Senator from Green votes aye. Senator from St. Francis. Senator from St. Francis votes aye. Senator from the 13th. Senator from 13th votes aye. Senator from Andrew, would you restate your vote? Senator from Andrew votes aye. By your vote of 32 ayes, 0 noes, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 2 with Senate Committee Substitute, Senator from Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 2 with the Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
Senator from Phelps moves that House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 2 with Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage. As many as are the opinion that the motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, do you care to move for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute and explain the bill?
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute. And, Mr. President, I would ask for a technical correction on House Bill 2. In the packet that you have, it says Senate Appropriations Substitute. That should be Senate Committee Substitute. I ask that those corrections be made at the dais. I move those corrections be made at the dais. And it is distributed.
Senator, your substitute has been sent forward. Do you have a substitute, Senator?
The Senate Committee substitute's been sent forward, but the technical correction can be made at the dais, I think.
Senator Phelps.
We're good to go. Okay. So with that technical correction, I will explain the Senate Committee Substitute. House Bill 2 is public education, K through 12. There is a statutory requirement that we fund K through 12. And you have a little one-sheeter that kind of summarizes the bill. The bill is quite large, as you can imagine, that the committee has gone through a number of times. And when you look at our little explanation, the legal expense fund and the cost allocation for governor's constituent services and cost allocation for governor's boards and commission, these will occur as changes throughout the different budget bills as we go along. The House had fully funded the foundation formula, and due to lack of funds, since we did not get circuit breaker, we have gone with the governor rec. That saves us a little bit of money. That is a conferenceable item, something that we can talk about, and if more money becomes available, then we have the opportunity to put some of this money back in. A lot of the parentheses items that you see are actually things that are in withhold and not recommended, since they are in withhold. So that's kind of a general overview. With any questions, I'll try to answer them.
The Senator from Phelps has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 2. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Barrie, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of the Senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from Barrie? Senator from Barry, you may proceed.
Sure. Senator, in my districts, we have large bus routes. And when the governor cut transportation, that really was disturbing to me because need to get. But I noticed we took the House position.
We did. We fully funded at last year's level of transportation.
Right. And I just wanted to make that point, and I appreciate that.
Yes.
Because some of our kids are riding an hour before they get to school, and we really need to have that.
And we felt that was a more fair allocation of the funds. We're hoping that we can put some more money in the foundation formula than where we're at right now. And like I say, that's conferenceable. But the transportation line item is closed, and it should move forward as is.
So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the Senate Committee Substitute? Senator from Barton, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire the senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Barton?
I do.
Senator from Barton, you may proceed.
Thanks, Senator. I was looking at the summary of changes on 2, and I see on the high-need fund, just a few lines down from the top there, that's an increase of $12.8 million, is that right?
Yes.
Where is the high-need fund in the bill? Do you know offhand? Do you know what the total number is in that fund?
I will see if I can come up
there. I was looking for it, but I haven't found it yet. Is that how does that money get increased? Is that a request from DESE, Senator?
It's a request from DESE, but it's also a requirement that we fund. In other words, this high needs fund is it's kids and children with specific disabilities and problems.
IEP type kids.
Yes, and so that is. I think that is a federal program and a match pull down, and I'm trying to read through this real quickly to get you to where we're at.
I'm looking as well. I had started looking but got up before I found it.
It's 2.160 is where the high needs fund is at.
Okay, I'm there. All right, so we're at 59.5 million now. That's an increase of about 13 million from last year.
Yeah, that's 12.3 million.
Say that again, Senator. Am I on the wrong line?
13 million. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, we increased it about 13. So is that just a reflection of more, I don't know if you remember, is that a reflection of more children in those IEPs or the more severe needs?
More children and higher cost or
and
more
higher
needs.
Cost services. Okay, right. But that your hands are tied on that. That has to go in. Okay. All right. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senators ought to be heard on the Senate Committee Substitute? Senator from St. Francis, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have an amendment.
You send your amendment forward, and has it been distributed?
It has been distributed. I ask for the waiver of the reading, and I move for its adoption.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, do you care to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. There's been a lot of conversation about what we should do with the formula, getting it fully funded. There's been conversations on both sides of this building, along with the governor. I think we obviously know this budget is going to go to conference. I think it's important that we fully fund the education, the foundation formula. So with this amendment, we will be fully funding the foundation formula. That, Mr. President, I move for its adoption.
Does any senator desire to be heard on amendment number 1? Senator from Phelps, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, at this time, and although I agree with my colleague, we would like to fully fund the formula. But at this time, there's not money in the budget to do that. That's why we set it up the way we did. Now, if we go to conference and we pass some of this legislation, we have more money, then we can move that to that direction. Maybe actually go all the way to fully fund the formula, but it would be my advice and my ask of the Senate to vote no on this amendment presently, because the money simply isn't there. The House may come to our position depending on what legislation we get passed.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Amendment Number 1? Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the maker of the amendment.
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from the 7th?
Yes, Mr. President, I do.
Senator from the 7th, you may proceed.
Thank you. You're the Chairman of Education.
Yes, I am.
And one of the things that we have tension between is where the money we put in the budget actually makes it to the students in the classroom. And we are funding in this budget transportation at 21%. The governor started out, I think, at 12% and then made an amendment to that, and then the House brought it from 16, where it was last year, to 21. That's good. I'm not advocating against that. But the transportation money disproportionately goes to outstate districts because they simply have more miles to cover to get their kids picked up from home to school.
Right. And a lot of time education seems to be more urban versus rural than it does political parties, obviously. And so there's issues that have to be dealt with based upon the proximity of the school districts.
So the foundation formula, however, it's a complicated formula, but it's broken up essentially into hold harmless and formula districts.
Correct.
And when we fully fund the formula, which, again, I would caution to those outside of the process, we're fully funding the formula as rewritten, not fully funding the formula as originally constructed. You'd agree with that as well?
Yes.
But how much are you adding in the bill here?
Simple math there, about $45 million.
Okay, so $45 million. We're putting $45 million more. That distribution to the school districts is probably going to be a little bit more proportional than more money in the transportation.
That's good math, yes. I follow that logic.
All right. Well, I serve on a probe, so I understand that the budget chairman has had some tough choices. I don't begrudge him the choice that he made in committee, and I've supported him to move the bills out of committee. But I think that when a member of the Senate and the chairman of the Education Committee stands up and says this should be a priority of the Senate, I'm inclined to support you, so I'll be voting yes on this amendment.
And I appreciate that. And just a follow-up comment is that we know the House originally put the fully funding of the formula in there. The governor's asked for fully funding the formula. I think we are in an environment right now that if we're ever going to fully fund the budget, we have a lot of support, and I think this body really needs to take that into consideration.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Amendment Number 1? Senator from 1st, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from the 3rd.
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the 1st?
Yes, I do.
Senator from the 1st, you may proceed.
So a few questions here, and let me preface this with an observation. We talk about full formula funding, and I get that what the House approved technically meets that definition under current law, but we changed the law last year, didn't we?
We did, so that we were realistic about indexing, I guess, or whatever terminology you wanted to be. We wanted to make the formula relevant to our revenues that we have to work with. Yes.
And to be clear, prior to that change in the law, the K-12 formula, basically ever since this particular formula's inception in 2005 or 2006, had for almost a decade been underfunded to the tune of $500 million annually pretty much every year, give or take.
Right. And really, to be realistic about it, we needed to pass the bill last year to put things in perspective in ratios.
Well, I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I would just respectfully suggest that we came to the conclusion that we were never going to reach those goalposts, so we moved them about 50 yards closer to where we were. I mean, we can debate over that, but I don't want people to forget that even with your amendment going on this bill, if it were to, we would still be $500 million short of what our target was 24 months ago.
I understand your point that you're trying to make, but I think what we've got to do is at least take the steps that we can, and this is a step that I believe would be
a big success.
And I agree. I'll also make the observation, the formula is 10 years old. It's relatively rare that we leave one in place for that long. And historically, the farther you get into the out years of a formula, the less relationship there is between what the formula calls for and what people thought they were committing to when it was adopted. And so in fairness, it had been a while since we'd updated it. We weren't going to be able to pass a full tilt formula rewrite for a variety of different reasons. So in fairness, I understand why we did what we did.
Well, and I just want to say that I had the good fortune of being a staffer in the Senate chamber back when the body was working on that bill and got to sit in on some of the late night conversations. And I can honestly say that there was a lot of hard work that went into putting that formula together, well thought out, and I think it's one of the best formulas we've ever had in the state.
Well, and it's one of only two formulas that we've had since 1993. So, I mean, on the average life of a K-12 foundation formula has been about a dozen years, and you know, they don't... The farther along they go, the farther they get from, I think, what the original sort of social contract was when they were adopted. It's just hard to account for what's going to happen 12 years down the road, and we do our best. So I know the House has the requirement when amendments are added to the budget of if you're adding money to one line, you got to take it out of somewhere else. And I know why they do that. We don't have that requirement here that I'm aware of. And I ordinarily wouldn't raise the question, but I mean, this is a $40 million move, as I understand it. Is that?
That's correct, but we have to realize that that was the original House budget proposal, so we're bringing it back to the original, to the House's proposal.
Sure, and I understand that, but to the point that the Senator from the 7th made in terms of what the Appropriations Committee process was, I mean, at a certain point when you get to a $40 million change, I'm about to ask the chairman about a $3 million change here in a minute, but I mean, when we're talking about $40 million, that's not, I mean, that is far from immaterial, certainly to school children, but do you have any thoughts on where in the budget we come up with that? And I know that we've talked about Circuit Breaker, I know that we've talked about other places where that money could come from, but as you stand here, if we put this amendment on, I mean, do you have strong feelings about where else in all these House bills we might be able to come up with $40 million to balance it out?
Managed care is the first thing that comes to mind, but there's going to be other conversations on that, I'm sure, as we go forward. But the money was in there in the original budget. Things have been shifted around. So obviously, if they could be shifted once, they can be shifted again. And I think it's time we take a hard look at what we're doing with some of our other programs and making a strong and sincere effort to get the education, the formula funded.
Well, I'm all for that because it's real simple in my district. I've got a number of – I represent 9 school districts. Some of them are held harmless, some of them are not. But for formula districts, every dollar that doesn't that we don't come up with in this building is a dollar that local property taxpayers get asked to come up with themselves. And I like to try to do everything I can here to keep the burden off of local property taxpayers. We got high property taxes where I am.
Well, I appreciate your support on this amendment.
Thank you, Senator.
Any other senators are to be heard on Amendment Number 1? Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire of the Senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from Buchanan?
I do.
Senator from Buchanan, you may proceed.
Okay. Senator, this is $45 million of, I think, GR, which would go into the foundation formula. And you said we just can't afford it. But since we're at the very beginning of the budget stage, past the public debt, which just there's no discussion about that, then in order to really make a rational decision on this, we need to know what are the differences between the Senate budget that's proposed and the House position? And just the total aggregate to start off with, can you give us that number?
On education?
No. You know, if you take each position that differs from the House and the Senate and add those total numbers up, Basically, what that would mean is that if it exceeds $45 million, then there is room to negotiate with the House such that we could fund this $45 million. And I suspect it's far more than $45 million. So I'm just curious. I guess what I'm saying is that if we take the House position on this line, we're locked in. There's no negotiation. So the question then becomes, how much is the total rest of it?
Okay, the total that the House recommendations have spent is $27,708,656,000 and change. We're at $27,722,000. So we're already over the House by about $16 million or so.
Okay, but that's not my question.
There's not much wiggle room, and I had not heard from the chairman of education that this was, I mean, it's a priority of all of us. I understand that. But at the same time, it's not something that we were, we had actually taken the governor's position. The governor's position was to not fully fund the formula. So we've taken the governor's position, and the position that we're at allows some negotiating room between where the House is at of fully funding the formula and where the governor's at of not fully funding the formula. And that's what I was hoping to go to conference with. Now, as we get better data, as we move along, as we pass more of these bills, then maybe we have the opportunity to fully fund. But to do it right now, then it makes our negotiations much tougher to try to come up with a bottom line that's not a negative.
I guess
it puts us in a bad position.
You've answered a question, but it's just not the question that I was asking. What I'm really trying to get at is something that the appropriation staff would probably have to provide, but they really ought to provide it, so I'm hoping that they're listening. But let's just say that the next line item that we're passing in the budget, we have a position that is higher than the House position. So let's take an example from my own district. It's $1 million for the Rosecrans Airport.
Right.
Okay, so if you look at what's happened here, we put in a line item for levies for the Rosecrans Airport for $1 million. That's not in the House budget. So if what I'm saying is if we took this $45 million and then we didn't put this in, we went to the House position on that, well, that's $1 million that would apply toward this. And so what I'm asking is, what is the total sum of differences between the House's positions individually and the Senate's positions individually? Because when you look at that number, if it's $100 million, well, we have a lot of room to work. We could put that money here, and the whole argument that we don't have it goes away. And so I've already thought of a few places. I've got that million for the levies. You know, I could do without that. Because after all, the senator from the first said, well, anything that you don't fund the formula, you have to take out of property taxes. And we're talking about jacking up the property taxes on the people of St. Joe anyway to pay for the school district. And then when we put that in, there was $1 million for an airport in Joplin. We don't need that if we don't need the levy money. And we had money for the dental school. Well, you know, we can do without another dental school. And then of course, there's the managed care. The managed care adds up to, depending on how you count, $36 million. And then there's the budget line that we left on the bottom line for the supplemental. I mean, it's $200 million, I think, or a large number.
I think the House may be there, but we're not quite that rich.
How much are we?
Around $125 to $130.
So I guess what I'm saying is that there's $125 million just sitting there. How about we leave less money on that line, on the supplemental, and we fully fund the foundation formula? I mean, this has been a conservative principle that we have lived by for many years. in an effort to fully fund the foundation formula. So why don't we do that?
Well, there is a possibility of doing that if we get the senator from, I'm sorry, he has an amendment that would graduate in funding the preschool programs. But if we fully fund this formula and that doesn't make it across the finish line, we just created about a $62 to $63 million hole for next year. So I think it's imperative that we leave this where we're at for negotiating purposes. And is the House on board with fully funding the formula? We're looking at a really big possibility of a huge supplemental next year. And I think that's their goal, and what our goal has been is to try to book a little bit of money to get to that point. So there's a lot of moving parts in this budget. I would hate to limit our ability to negotiate at this stage of the game. In the conference committee, we have a lot more room to negotiate because we're another week or two down the road. We know a little more what's going to happen.
Well, let me ask you this. If it's so important that we have the ability to negotiate, would you support eliminating the managed care expansion from the budget so that we could then have that to negotiate with?
Well, I suspect that that amendment will come up on the floor. That amendment has been talked about, and we'll see what the will of the body is. The will of the committee was to leave it in, and I voted with the will of the committee. I'm somewhat confused as to why this amendment is just showing up now when we've been meeting on the budget for months now. And I do think that it is imperative that we stay where we're at on the foundation formula for the purposes of trying to get to a bottom line that is agreeable to both the House and the Senate.
Well, but my question was, if it's important that we have differences between the House and Senate so that we'll have room to negotiate, and you think that that's important on this amendment, my question is, will you speak for us to have that ability to negotiate when it comes to the managed care amendment?
I think that will be the will of the body.
So you won't support or not support? You'll just be neutral?
I am.
Okay.
At the present time.
Well, I appreciate the inquiry, Mr. President.
Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire of the Senator from St. Francois.
St. Francis, Senator from St. Francis, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from Buchanan?
Yes, I do.
Senator from Buchanan, you may proceed.
Senator, talking about this fully funding the foundation formula,
you know, I appreciate the line of questioning that you started there, and that the fact that we've got to start somewhere. House Bill number 2 is number 2 for a reason. Education is one of our constitutional responsibilities and obligations of this state, is to provide a quality education to our students. That's the reason why it's at the top of the list when we start working on the budget. And I think that rationale, that thought process, lends it to itself that we need to make sure that if education is priority, that we fully fund it and put it in position, and then we start negotiating down the line. To not do it and use it as a bargaining chip later on puts it at a disadvantage. I think we need to put it at an advantage right now, especially since it is our top priority in the budgeting process. And I think that's a thought process our members need to be thinking about as we discuss this budget and the chance to negotiate going down the road.
Well, you know, it's not only the top priority in the budget, it's the top priority in the Constitution.
That's exactly.
In fact, we are mandated to spend a certain amount on the foundation formula, and it has been the promise of the legislature for years to do this. And I've got to ask this question. Which is more important? Fully funding the foundation formula or leaving money on the bottom line for a supplemental when we could do a good job of estimating? How about, you know, sending money to Michael Nydorf or fully funding the foundation formula? I mean, These are the real choices that we have here. And I vote for fully funding the foundation formula. I think it's critically important. We have the ability right here during this process of budgeting to do some really great things for the state of Missouri. We can help our education. We can work on transportation. We can help the seniors and those on disabilities, you know, or, you know, we can have other priorities. Let's leave money on the bottom line. Let's send money to Centene. I mean, but, Senator, I'm with you, buddy.
Well, I appreciate your support on this amendment. And, you know, we talk about one of the agenda items for this year is economic development and economic growth. The best way to have good economic development and growth is to have an educated workforce. The more money we can put into our education system to provide that opportunity, to create that workforce, the greater opportunity do we have to have economic development and growth in this state.
Well, I agree with you, and I thank you for the inquiry, Mr. President.
Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire of the Senator from Clay.
Senator from Clay, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from Buchanan?
I do, Mr. President.
Senator from Buchanan, you may proceed.
Senator, you know that during the budget process, I sat right by you.
Yes.
And the Senate took several lines in the budget that the House had put a number that might have been somewhat inflated, and we changed that and just put a $1 E. You remember that?
Can you refresh me on specific lines? Because I mean, you know that I have a crusade against E's, and I'm not a fan of a dollar E.
Yeah, we put a dollar
E. I know that there are certain transfer, you know, refund lines and whatnot, but I'm still of the opinion that E's are unconstitutional.
Oh, I know.
And I have been for years.
I know, but that's not the point. I think one of them was the personal injury fund.
Okay.
So the House put in something like, I don't remember, $90 million or... It was a huge number.
Okay.
And I think we took all of those out and put $1 E here and there. Did we not?
You know, we go through so many lines. I mean, we go through all of them, and there's thousands.
Well,
so.
Well, let me just tell you that I remember that we did this.
I don't dispute it.
Okay, so I guess what I'm saying is that the House said, we're going to spend this much money, and we said, well, we don't really know how much we're going to spend, so rather than locking all that down in GR, we're going to put just $1 E and just let that kind of go up to where it belongs. Because the House was really trying to do what you said,
yeah,
and get rid of them. So
yeah,
they
kind of
overestimated. Well, there's a difference between that overestimated number and the true number. We don't really know what it is.
That's the problem with E's, and I believe, and it goes to why I believe they're unconstitutional in the first place, because I believe it is the legislature ceding its appropriation authority to the executive by not giving him a number and saying,
well,
you have to stick to this number.
Right. Well, the legal expense fund, I think that's 90-some million dollars, and I believe that's way overestimated. Because, you know, it's never been that much. I think it was 30-some million dollars this year. And do you remember receiving a report from General Hawley who says, we are fighting that absolutely. We're going to just really try to work on keeping that number down. And I believe him. So I guess what I'm saying is that there's millions of dollars there. Now, I don't know if it's 45 million or how many millions it is, but it's significant, and we could put it on this line right now. And we ought to do it.
You know, I think there are a number of places you can go.
Senate will come to order. Senate will come to order so the senators can hear one another in the debate. Senators, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I have been an advocate for funding the formula for a long time. In fact, I praised Chairman Fitzpatrick when he sent it over here fully funded. You know, you and I are one of a handful of people who are still in the legislature from 05 when we rewrote the formula last. And then, of course, last year when we did the other tweak that the senator from the first was talking about. So I have felt for a long time that this is a commitment that we have made to the children of this state that we are going to fund your education at a certain level. And up to now, we have not lived up to that commitment. And, you know, one of the foundational principles of government budgeting is that budgets are documents of priority. You can look at the budget and you can tell what the priorities are of the people who wrote that budget, right? Because the money follows where the priority is. And I think it's extremely important that our elementary and secondary schools be a priority. I mean, as the senator, the sponsor of the amendment pointed out, it's the number two thing in the Constitution that we're supposed to do behind public debt. Public debt's first, free and public schools are second. So if we're going to talk about, we didn't pass circuit breakers, so now we got to cut this, I mean, I think it's a false choice. Well, I think there's $27 billion to deal with, and to take it from the kids in the public schools is not where I would have gone.
We're actually cutting from the House position here.
Yes, we are.
Okay,
that's
well,
right.
Well, Senator, I want you to think about this. If the governor is listening, right now, at this moment, he could declare publicly that we are going to put this managed care contract on hold. He could do that. He could say, that's going to save us $36 million, and I think that it's more important to fully fund the foundation formula than it is to do the managed care. He could do that if he wanted right now, and that would free up for us right now $36 million for the kids, for the education of our children. Now, he has a choice today, tomorrow, every day between now and May the 1st, which is, I think it's only like 6 days away, that he could make that decision. And so I have to say that if we don't fully fund this foundation formula, but we give the money to Michael Nydorf and Centene, that is really going to reflect badly on every decision, every day that he does not make it. And I would rather not even have this discussion. Let's just have him free up the money so that we would be free to fund the kids. But, you know.
Or let's just use our constitutional authority to appropriate and fund the kids.
I agree. Now, he'll be able to withhold if he wants. But
that's true. And he can always do that.
He can always do that. So,
Governor
Nixon
used to do that. I mean, but let's. I think it's also important, and we look at the context of this amendment. So the House sent us over an increase in the formula, and they funded it, fully funded under the statute. They also sent over an increase in school transportation, which disproportionately helps rural schools.
Yeah, and we funded that.
Now, exactly. When the Appropriations Committee looked at it, we said, okay, we're going to keep the money that you sent us in transportation, but we're going to cut all of the money that you gave us in the formula and go back to what it was before. So I think it's important to make that distinction, right? The committee kept some of it, and then they cut the other part.
Right.
And I think that we could fund both.
Well, this vote on this amendment is about fully funding the foundation formula and educating our children, and I think everybody in the room knows that, so I thank you for the inquiry. Mr. President?
Senator Buchanan?
If I could get the requisite number of senators standing, I would request a roll call on this amendment.
You do have the number. There will be a roll call. Senator from Phelps, what region do you rise?
Inquire the senator from San Francis.
Senator from St. Francis, yield.
Yes, Mr. President, I did.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for yielding. And I guess I go back. I kind of alluded to it when I was speaking with Senator from Buchanan. Did you ever come by the office or talk with me or other members on the committee about fully funding the formula?
No, I did not.
Okay. We voted this out 11-0 without fully funding the formula. So
there's been a lot of conversations that's taken place over the last course of a couple of weeks, the circuit breaker being number one.
Obviously, the House budget allowed for fully funding it, so you guys got to education early, then you got to some of the other subject matters later. This bill is a top priority. It's in a certain order, so to me, we've got to take the order of priorities that's been presented to us. I think we need to fully fund the formula, and then it gives us a negotiating tool later on some of the other items. We've got to start somewhere, and education being constitutionally required and our responsibility, I think it's important that we start giving it its priority and then working our way down from there.
For future references, it would be nice to know that, you know, where you're at and that this is something that you would like to see done rather than just presenting an amendment on the floor and I being blindsided, and I would assume the other members of the committee, two of them were speaking, did not know this was coming. You know, we're not just cutting the formula. I've said all along, as money becomes available or if the, you know, it's a big priority to all of us. We're constitutionally required to fund K through 12 education 25% of general revenue, and we're at between 33% and 34%. So when I hear that argument that we're not funding education, we're actually, we increased the funding of education this year as we do in most years. If we don't put any money in the formula, it would be my hope that we could put money in the formula. So at this point, as you pointed out early on in the budget, I think it would be nice to leave us some room for negotiation when we go to conference. That's what I ask at this point, and would ask you to, you know, in the future, let me know what your real concerns are. It seemed like that we had no real discussion in committee, that this was a bad idea on how we were trying to move forward. And so, again, I ask everyone to vote no on the amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from Webster, what reason do you rise?
Fire the senator from Phelps, please.
Senator from Phelps, yield.
I do.
Proceed.
Senator, is it a pretty fair assumption that as with this increase they've given the schools, they'll be at probably 99% fully funded?
Yes. Yes.
99 plus maybe. Most of the schools be between, I'd say, 98 and 99.9% fully funded.
That's the numbers I've seen. Yeah.
Okay. And when we look at transportation, they're going to be 21% funded?
Yes.
By state statute, we're supposed to spend 75%. They're supposed to
yes.
be funded at 75%?
Right.
That's where the additional money looks like to me.
Yes.
Needs to go for transportation. When we're funding something at 21%, by statute, we're supposed to fund at 75%.
So there is a disparaging difference between what we're doing on rural schools, regardless of what's been said on the floor this morning, and what happens with the formula. And, you know, I've had numerous conversations that this fully funded the formula unless we get the senator from Christian. I apologize to him. I couldn't remember his county a while ago. If we get his amendment, then it makes fully funding the formula much more. It allows us to be able to meet that without putting us in a pitfall as early as this year.
And I understand that if we go with the Senate's position, then we can negotiate between the House and the Senate. And if you can find an extra $5 or $5 million or $20 million or $50 million, then you'd be in a position to do that. They're not going to go along with everything we put in, the Senate
no,
put in.
Absolutely.
So there's going to be some money in there, and there's going to be some wiggle room. You're asking for wiggle room to where you can get as much as you can?
Absolutely.
Senator, because I know where your philosophy is and your heart is.
Right.
And I'm against this amendment, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Question. Senator of the 14th, what reason you rise?
Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, yield.
Do.
Proceed.
Thank you so much. Senator, we just had an offline conversation, and I know that we're coming up for a break just in a little bit. We'll be going into, at least I will be, into the Education Committee, dealing with the same subject, I'm sure, making sure we give children quality education. But before we go on that brief break, there are a couple of issues that I have with the budget. As I've been going through House Bill 6 and talking to the chair of the Budget Committee, Appropriations Committee, I'm concerned that the interest that I have for my district is not being adequately addressed. And so I'm going to be standing on House Bill 6 for some time so I can get some clarification. And anyone who needs to come to my office to have a conversation, I will make sure that I'm available to them. But I have 1,000 pages to get through. Of some research that I've been going through. I have 1,000 pages I need to get through today.
Well, you know, this is the most important thing that we as the legislature do. And so if we need to take a little extra time on House Bill 6, I think we ought to take it.
Yeah, I wanted to have this public conversation because I am concerned about the livelihood of children and families in my district who are literally getting sick and getting cancer and getting autoimmune diseases because of a burning landfill. Just this morning, I was talking to a reporter about the legacy of waste at the Pruitt-Igoe site. And little did he know that not only did that development, not only was it contaminated with zinc, cadmium sulfide, anthrax, and radioactive particulates, from the oral histories that I've been doing, the likelihood of it having ionizing radiation from uranium ore is very high. And then I told him, did you know that the demolition for Pruitt-Igoe is in the Bridgeton landfill, the same site that's burning, which means that all of those contaminants from Pruitt-Igoe are in the air, and the likelihood of the reason why people are so sick for miles from that landfill is due to what's in it, including PCBs from Monsanto.
Well, you know, I hope you have some amendments to offer. You know, we had talked about doing a study and having somebody do an actual study in your district. I hope you have an amendment to get that put in.
Well, there's several amendments that we are putting together, but I just wanted to give everyone who may have some interest an opportunity to come to my office. As I said, there's ongoing research that I have, and I told the senator from the second that I have to get through about 1,000 pages within 24 hours. So
Well, thank you.
I'm pretty committed to it. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Senator from the first, will reason your eyes?
I seek unanimous consent to introduce some special guests who are joining us in the chamber.
Without objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Joining us in the upper gallery are students from Edgar Road Elementary in Webster Groves. We're delighted to have them here, and if members of the body could make them feel welcome, I would greatly appreciate it.
Will the members of the Senate make the guests of the Senator of the First welcome? Welcome to the Capitol. Have a great day. Further discussion? Further discussion. Senator from 23rd. What region do you rise?
From the Senator from the 3rd.
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield?
Yes, Mr. President, I do.
Proceed.
Morning, Senator. I have a brief inquiry. My intent is not to delay or obstruct on the conversation that we're having here, but I wanted to make a couple points. You and I both serve on the Education Committee, so this is a topic that I don't know about the conversations that you've had with the Senator from Phelps on this particular topic, but I know that you and I have had a conversation on this particular topic.
Yes.
And regardless of what other conversations are ongoing, we have had a conversation on this floor about priorities and prioritizing the people's money, which is precisely what's at stake with this bill. Is that correct?
That's the whole motive for driving this amendment at this time. It is the second top, I guess, because it's House Bill number 2. Public debt is number 1. But education is our constitutional obligation, responsibility. It's the highest of all the other budget bills. It's got to take priority. And the art of negotiation says
You start with your highest number possible and then work your way back. If we do not fully fund the formula, then we don't leave ourselves as much negotiation room. I would like to keep it there. I'm putting this amendment on in the hopes that we do fully fund the formula and not take away from it. We've got the other budgets to go through. We do not want this one to be behind the eight ball compared to the other budget items.
And something I've pointed out on the floor before is the fact that this year we're going to spend more taxpayer money than we ever have before in the state of Missouri. So we have actually record levels of funding available to make this kind of priority decision. Is that correct?
Correct.
So I don't think it's necessarily unreasonable that with record amounts of revenue that we're prioritizing what constitutionally we should be doing in the first place, which is the education formula. Now, I know we're meeting the standard of 25%, but in our statutes, we've made a commitment to these schools, and I think it's a reasonable request that we support that. Now, I'd also like to point out something else. You and I don't agree on all education measures. Is that correct?
That's true.
We have some differences of opinion. So even though we have differences of opinion on other measures that are making their way to one extent or another in the body, you and I actually, I think, see eye to eye on this one because of the priority of K-12 education. I like your amendments. I think that I agree with you that we need to decide what's most important to our state. And I'm going to be voting yes on this amendment, but I wanted to explore that with you. And I'd also like to know that a lot of the education reform measures that are coming through the body right now have triggers that rely on us fully funding the formula. So that's weighing on my mind heavily. So I think this is a measure that I'm going to support. So thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Further discussion. The Senator from the 5th, what region? Your eyes.
To inquire the Senator from the 3rd. Thank you.
Senator St. Francis, yield.
President, yes, I do.
Proceed.
Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Afternoon.
How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. So just to be clear, I often hear the discussion about fully funding the formula. What exactly will fully funding the formula do for districts throughout the state?
For districts is what?
Throughout the states, what will fully funding the formula do?
They will be able to share another $45 million through the school districts.
And do you know what that money will go towards?
Go towards the classroom, additional teachers, additional teaching materials. It's going to go to better our educational system.
What do you think it should go towards?
Anything that will help our students have the best opportunity to learn.
And the reason that I ask is because when I was in grade school, you know, we would have home ec. Are you familiar with home ec?
Yes, I am. That's,
we used to have home ec, and we used to have industrial arts, gymnastics, and things of that sort. And today it's just not there. I don't see it, you know, in any of the schools that I represent. And that did a lot for young folks because I know how to make egg and bacon as a result of my home ec. I know how to sew a little bit as a result of my home.
I think in that class they also taught
life skills.
Responsibility, life skills, how to balance a checkbook and some of those other things that we financially get ourselves in trouble with when we don't manage our money properly. It's those life skills that really set us out to be successful in life.
Yeah, and I truly believe that, you know, you are doing the right thing, and I just want you to know that I support you 150% because I would love to see those different programs that we once had in the school systems back in the schools.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate that.
Further discussion? Senator from Callaway, what region you rise?
To inquire of the Senator from St. Francis.
Senator from St. Francis, yield.
Yes, I do.
Senator, proceed.
I have a question about your amendment, and I got pulled off the floor, so I'm trying to catch up a bit. So are you on the Appropriations Committee?
No, I'm not.
And did you talk to any of the members on that committee or the chairman of that committee about this amendment prior?
No, I did not.
So if this was a high priority for you, I'm asking why would you not work with the committee prior to coming out here on the floor when we're voting on the overall budget?
Then why bring the bill to the floor at all? Why bring the bill up for debate at all? I think that's part of the process, is to bring the bill to the floor, for the various members to debate.
Well, since I've been here, the process has been, if you have priorities, we go talk to the chairman, we talk to members in the Senate that are on the Appropriations Committee to see what the possibilities are. And so after all the work this committee has done to try to meet the deadlines, you haven't spoken to anyone about this, and you bring it today. And I think it's a bit disingenuous.
That's your feelings.
Thank you.
Further discussion, Senator from Butler will read, or Senator from Barton will reason your right.
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire the Senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, yield.
Yes.
Proceed.
Thanks, Senator.
Thank you.
I've heard the constitutional commitment thrown out a number of times here. So that's the 25%, right?
Yes.
And that's of general. Of GR.
Of general revenue, yes.
Okay, so that just goes to the GR. And what did you say we are at in terms of...
We're about almost 34%, I believe, right now.
Okay, so we're roughly 9% above the constitutional requirement.
Yes.
And we're at one of the larger budgets I think I've heard on the floor that we've ever had, maybe the largest. So we're at 34% of the largest budget that the state has ever known,
right?
But it's apparently not sufficient to educate our kids.
That's what I'm finding out this morning.
What's the higher priority in terms of the budget, Senator? What's higher than 34%?
You mean what?
We're talking about that. This reflects the priorities we have as a state, how we budget. What are we spending more than 34% on? Social services, is that the only thing that's higher than that?
That's probably true. It's right about that number.
So it's in the welfare arena, basically the income redistribution arena, we're higher than that, but everything, nothing else goes above that 34%.
Right.
Okay, so what we really need to question then is whether we need to move some money out of the higher into the 34%, right?
Right.
If we're talking priorities. Okay, I just wanted to be clear. Thanks, Senator.
Well, before you sit down, you know, one of the things that we did in this budget that the House did not do is we funded what Mosier's asked to fund the retirement program, and the House chose not to do that. And so there's some money there that, of course, is conferenceable. And I would really like to hold that money in Mosier's, because once you get behind on funding a retirement program, and there's a lot of people in Missouri dependent upon that retirement program.
Right.
Once you fall behind, it's very hard to catch up. And so I think as an accounting principle, it's important that we really fund and try to keep up with our retirement program.
You know how much is conferenceable in that item?
I think it's around $20 million.
Okay, so you could get some of it back there if that was the will of the conference committee. All right. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Further discussion, Senator from Lewis, or reason your eyes?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to inquire the Senator from Phelps.
I do.
Excuse me, Senator from Lewis, what did you say?
I say I'd like to inquire of the Senator from Phelps.
Senator Phelps, yield?
I do.
I'll proceed.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
You know, along that very same line that was being brought up, a lot of us have gone to you, and I mean several others in the body have come to you about issues that we have and on different things, different budget items, and you've listened very carefully to what we would like. I know that you have tried to put those in. But I want to get on to a different subject. I think you've already spoke or touched on it a little bit, and that is the senator from Christian County has a bill.
Right.
Now, if we fully fund this foundation formula,
right,
kind of binds us and locks us into the future. Is that correct?
That's exactly right.
And if we get his bill passed, hopefully soon, shortly, hopefully maybe even this week, that would allow a little freedom of us going forward with our budgets here in the future.
With the early childhood education trigger that we passed a couple years ago, it would graduate it, I think, over about a five-year time period. So 20% of that a year would be much easier for us to fund and for schools to fund their portion of it. A lot of schools don't want the foundation formula fully funded because they can't afford to move forward full bore on the early childhood. Many schools have already moved forward on early childhood, and they're ready to pounce when that money becomes available, which creates about a $62 to $63 million potential underfunded portion of education next year.
And that, like you said, some are ready, some aren't.
Right.
But it still could impose a problem on the Missouri state budget.
Yes.
By triggering a mechanism there that we didn't know if we'd ever get to or not.
Right.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
But if we would get that passed in the next week while conference is going on, and hopefully we do, you're not saying you really don't want to fully fund. You're just watching out, like you said earlier, I believe I heard you say, for some negotiation and some wiggle
yes.
room.
Well, that
you would have.
Yeah, that's the idea in the budget that the committee tried to build, to where we have some items that we can go to conference on, because not only do we have a problem, the House has about a $56 million problem as well, and they have nowhere to go. In other words, they've already passed their budget. They used and spent the $56 million. So allowing us a bit of negotiating room. And I've always said that if we get more money, probably the first place I'm going to go will be the foundation formula. But I would suspect if the House would tell us right now and be honest, since they're not going to get that $56 million, then we either write a budget that's upside down or we negotiate this point a little further, and I would like to have that option.
And that's what I see as I look at your motives of going forward with this, is to allow some time to work through some of the other issues,
right,
and have a negotiation factor with the House. So
we tried to move the ball down the road, get a budget that we can go to conference, and then we've got more data, more information that hopefully the House and the Senate arrives at a really good budget.
So it could end up, it wouldn't have to, it could end up coming out of conference. It's fully funded.
Right, absolutely.
But you've got other issues you have to look at, like you said, the retirement plan, the Mosiers and other things.
And there's
things
a
like
lot
that,
of members so. That we put things in the budget that have to realize those are not House positions. So probably the first place you go is to take those things out of the budget to get $45 million. So there's a lot of items that senators have brought to me that we put in our budget, and we craft it in such a way that we're negotiable on these items, but I don't have much negotiating room when we got to cough up $45 million real quick.
I understand. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from the 5th, what reason you rise?
Inquire the Senator from the 3rd.
Senator from the 3rd, yield.
I do.
Proceed.
Senator, how long have you been the Chairman of Education?
This is my first year as Chair. I was Vice Chair over the last 4 years.
Okay. I just have a few questions just so that, you know, it brings me a little clarity here in terms of what it is you're trying to do. So we have approximately how many whole harmless districts in the state?
I do not have that number. I'm not sure.
Say that again?
I don't have that number. I'm not sure, no.
Okay. All right, so you're the chairman of education, but you're not clear on how many whole harmless districts we have in the state. I know that I'm one of them. I would say there would be approximately 190, to be exact, right? So we have 190 whole harmless districts. And what we're going to do right here with your amendment, the 190 whole harmless districts will not benefit a bit from what it is you're trying to do. And I can tell you that my district, we need more funding as well. And so what do you say to those districts who will not benefit from what it is you're trying to do? Why should we support this amendment when our school districts are being left out of the monies?
The whole harmless districts were created to make sure that they received a minimum amount. And as we go forward, there's going to be triggers eventually that those folks will receive additional funds. But until we start making steps in the right direction to fund our formula to a level that brings them up to getting additional funds, they have been protected over the last several years from having a reduction in their funds when the formula has not been fully funded. So they've enjoyed the benefits of that protection. That's why it's called hold harmless.
I understand that, and I do agree that we should be protected. However, how do you convince 190 districts to support, I mean, that will not benefit from, what is it, $45 million you're trying to put in?
Correct.
To support your efforts, because again, even though we are held harmless, we're still at a point where many of our services in terms of education, they're not being met. Our educational needs are not being met. And I just want to just be clear that this, for those that are listening, this here does nothing for the St. Louis area. And it would behoove me to, let me just say, I'll stop, because I don't want to say the wrong things here. Senator,
you were very encouraging early on the bill, and
yeah,
very appreciative of the fact that we are meeting the needs of providing as much dollars to our education as possible. And now somebody's whispered in your ear that hold harmless may not benefit from this. But I think if, as an educator, supportive educator, this education as you are, you would support us putting as much money into education as we possibly can. First step, fully funding the formula, and then being able to take the next step to start adding additional funding to our education as we go forward to benefit all schools.
So how many districts will benefit from this? Do we have 500 and how many do we have, school districts? 520, 540?
Yeah.
500 and what?
About 520.
So you should, 520 districts, out of the 520 districts, how many districts will benefit from the $45 million that you are about to put in the budget that is totally, I mean, that is really about to disrupt this whole budget?
That number minus 190. 330.
Okay. Okay. Well, Senator, again, we're not benefiting from, St. Louis is not benefiting from it. And I just want to say I'm done with this inquiry.
Further discussion on Senate Amendment 1 to House Committee Substitute House Bill Number 2 with Senate Committee Substitute. Senator from the second, will reason he rise?
To inquire, Senator from Webster.
Senator from Webster, yield.
I do.
Proceed.
Senator, I saw you working on some things, and I just wanted to inquire of you before this amendment closed. What are your thoughts, Senator, about this debate we're having?
I'm concerned. I'm worried. I mean, we're cutting nursing homes, we're cutting home health care, we're cutting a lot of good programs, and somehow or another, if this amendment goes through, somehow or another got to come up with $100 million. And Senator from Christian's bill does not go through. And $100 million, I mean, where do you get $100 million?
Right.
I just don't understand how we can do that and come up with $100 million. And I haven't talked to a school yet that's not happy with where they're at.
Right.
I mean, like I say, nursing homes are getting cut, home health care services getting cut. There's lots of cuts out there, and we're turning along and giving them an increase. Schools are just tickled. They're more worried about charter schools. They're more worried about vouchers than they are about this. They're just tickled to death to have it. I mean,
right.
That's the appearance I get from the school.
So you serve on the Appropriations Committee.
Yes, I do.
And you've had conversations with
with representatives of your school district back home, superintendents, principals, and so on?
We get lots of emails and
I bet you do. And phone calls. We all do, don't we?
Yep, we do. And everybody, you know, that's good that they do that. We want their input to let them know. But, you know, we're not experts on running a school, so we take that input and break it down, and we do what we think's best. And I was proud of the Senate staff, how they came up, or the Senate Appropriations Committee, how they did that. And we came to agreement, all 11 of us came to an agreement on that.
Yeah, you all work very hard on the Appropriations Committee. And it's a bipartisan effort.
And the chair, I can't imagine being chairman of appropriations.
Right.
I mean, that's an incredible job that he's got just people beating on his door. Everybody wants their priorities. You know, you got to fund this. You know, we don't care about schools, fund, you know, senior citizens this, or we don't care about senior citizens, fund schools, you know,
right.
Everything. And we're doing our constitutional authority by doing this.
Right.
We're percents over that.
Right.
And so that's pretty good during a tough budget year.
Right, right. And this is a tough budget year.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Well, I appreciate it, Senator, and I see you've been working on some things, so thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from Webster.
Mr. President, I have a substitute amendment. It has been requested. I think it's being distributed right now.
Send your amendment forward. And it is, it is being distributed?
Yes.
And you asked for a waiver of the reading?
I do ask for a waiver of the reading. I will not close on to that.
And you move for the adoption?
I move for the adoption, Mr. President.
Okay, you want to care to explain your...
What this amendment does, it puts another $10 million into the formula. And that's basically what it does. It'd be $10 million over. That still gives, if the...
Senator Webster, go ahead and proceed.
Okay. If this amendment passes, it still gives our appropriations chairman wiggle room that he can go in and negotiate more. If it does not, it puts the Senate a real bind coming up with $100 million. And as I was talking to the Senator before, where do you come up with $100 million? There's going to be some other stuff cut. Do we cut more nursing homes? Do we cut home health care some more? Do we cut this? What program do we come up with to come up with $100 million?
Further discussion on Senate substitute number one. Senator from Clay, what reason do you rise?
To inquire of the Senator from Webster.
Senator Webster, yield. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. So what number are you going to now?
I'm going to $10 million increase, Senator.
A $10 million increase over the Senate position, but still not fully funded.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, I heard you talk about your concerns. And I'd like to explore those for a minute. So your concern was that this might be too much money if we fully fund it?
That's my concern. Senator.
Okay, now you're the chairman of fiscal oversight.
I'm not chairman of it. I'm on the committee, yes.
You're the chairman of fiscal oversight.
Oh, fiscal oversight, yes. Yes.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking.
And so yesterday in fiscal oversight, you moved to pass Senate Bill or House Bill 313 out, which had a fiscal note of like $45 million to maybe greatly more than that, but yet you moved that bill. So why not the concern on that bill when it comes to how much money it would cost? Why were you concerned about that bill but not actually appropriation?
I voted for that. Yes, I did vote for it, but that was a committee position that did that, and I do not control that committee. So I did make that vote, though, along with you, Senator.
Right, I know I voted for it, but I'm also supporting full funding of the formula.
Right.
So your contention is that if we fully funded the formula, it automatically triggers another $60 million in spending?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
And why would we have to appropriate that $60
million? I don't know that we do.
I don't think
And I think there's a possibility that this may not get appropriated, that, you know, that the governor may, you know, this is against his position. He may veto it. I mean,
right.
He has that option of doing so. So
but
I'm
my
trying
point
to reach
is,
a compromise that everybody can be happy with.
But my point is, we keep hearing this argument that if we fully fund the formula, it somehow triggers and enforces the legislature to appropriate another $60+ million, when that's simply just not true. That statute has no more force on the legislature than the current formula statute
It would have
has.
To be appropriated, Senator. That's correct.
It would have to be appropriated.
Yes.
So, in fact, we could fully fund the formula without funding the early childhood piece next year if we decide the money's not there to fund the early childhood piece.
So do we just continually spend, and then withhold upon promises, Senator? I'd rather make a promise.
Senator, you're one of the few that was with me in 2005 when we wrote this formula. Do you not feel any responsibility for the formula?
I would love to pass this. That's one of my goals, to fully fund the formula before we get out of here. I cannot spend money we do not have, apparently have. I mean, we're going to do this. Do we go back and cut nursing homes? Do we go back and cut these other programs?
Well, I would argue constitutionally that nursing homes and other programs are lower on the priority than education, which is number two.
Senator, we're 34%, 35%, so we're already passing the authority. We're obligated at 29%. Is that not correct?
You also voted for the formula.
Yes.
But now you don't want to fund it.
It's not a matter I don't want to fund it. We're funding it more than ever, Senator.
But we're not funding it to what the formula says.
Funding it to the best of my knowledge that we can afford. I'm trying to do something we can afford. So, money won't be withheld.
Okay,
superintendents will know where they're at. That's the biggest disservice we can do is to superintendents is to promise them money, and then, oops, we've got to withhold because we don't have it. That's what gets them in trouble because they're already obligated to hire teachers. They're already obligated to hire other people, start programs, and suddenly the money's not there. They can work with what we give them. They're very good. Our superintendents, our school board's been great about working with us. But we have to have a reasonable amount, and they have to know that the money's going to be there. We're promising money that may not be there.
But that's any appropriation line ever in the entire budget. The money may not be there. The governor can withhold from anything, anywhere. So, again, I think that's kind of ringing hollow to say that, oh, well, if we put this money in, then we're just giving people false hope. I don't think that that's true at all. I think what I'm hearing is...
Let's have order over here.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think what I'm hearing is funding the formula is not a higher priority to you than other things that are in this budget.
Three members on the floor. Senator from Phelps, what reason do you rise?
Mr. President, would you please lay this bill on the informal calendar?
That will be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from Colt.
President, would you inquire from the Secretary if there are messages from the House? If so, I'd ask them to please be read.
All of the business be suspended, and House Bill number 34, having passed both branches of the General Assembly, will be read at length by the Secretary. If no objections are made, the bill will be signed into end. That may become law. Secretary, read the bill.
Truly agreed to and finally passed, House Bill number 34, an act relating to the Uniform Commercial Code.
The objections, the bill, no objection withstanding, the bill is so signed. Madam Secretary, if there are messages from the governor, please have them read. Excuse me, messages from the House, is that the Board of Business? Message from the House, please have them read.
Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 293, entitled An Act Relating to the Use of Handheld Electronic Wireless Communication Devices by Persons Operating Motor Vehicles for Compensation While Transporting Passengers. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 219, entitled An Act Relating to Private Probation Services for Misdemeanor Offenders. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 324, entitled An Act Relating to Truant Pupils. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 746, entitled An Act Relating to Residential Mortgage Loan Brokers. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 194, entitled An Act Relating to Abortion. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bills 960, 962, and 828, entitled An Act Relating to a Social Innovation Grant Program. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 670, entitled An Act Relating to Gifted Education. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 743, entitled An Act Relating to Governmental Compensation Funds. Also, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested, respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Kremlis, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. Business, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your hardworking Senate Education Committee will convene at 12:30.
Senator from St. Andrew. Or St. Andrew. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President, for the elevation. Your Committee on Local Government and Elections will meet at 1 p.m. in the Senate Lounge.
Further announcement. Senator from Cole, or Senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've got a flyer that has been distributed on this, but seeing as how it's been a rough session and the question, it hurts, don't it, would be appropriate, I just want to announce to the body and the staff that tomorrow is Donut Day at the Capitol, and one of the private businesses in my district, Hertz Donut, is going to be providing donuts for members and staff at 3 o'clock outside my office, and I thought it would be a good opportunity for us to just maybe break bread together, so to speak. So I would invite everyone tomorrow at 3 for Donut Day. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further announcements. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m. this day.
The Senator from Cole has moved the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m. this day. All those in favor, say aye. Opposed, no. We are in recess until 2 p.m. this day.